This presentation covers the enzyme reactions of the TCA cycle, followed by a discussion of the regulation of the pathway and its role in both energy conservation and also in various biosynthetic processes. Textbooks use different names for this pathway, so it's worth just going through the alternative names. It's often known as the Krebs cycle, after the famous German biochemist Hans Krebs, who worked out the reactions of the pathway. It's also referred to as the citric acid cycle, because the first intermediate in the pathway is citric acid or citrate. It's called the tricarboxylic acid cycle, because two of the compounds in the pathway have this structure. It's also referred to as the common terminal pathway, and the next diagram will explain why that's a suitable name. This diagram emphasizes that the first stage of metabolism of either carbohydrates or fatty acids or amino acids results in the production of a two-carbon unit known as acetyl-CoA. Then, no matter which fuel molecule has given rise to the acetyl-CoA, that molecule then enters the second and third stage of metabolism, that's the TCA cycle and oxidative phosphorylation, which are then common to the breakdown of the three main classes of fuel molecules. Before we go on to look at the enzyme reactions in detail, it's useful to start with some key points. A definition of the pathway would be that it involves the oxidation of acetyl-CoA to the waste products carbon dioxide and water. The location of the enzymes of this pathway are in the mitochondrial matrix. The tissues that contain this pathway are all tissues that have mitochondria, and that would exclude mature red blood cells in the circulation, which have lost their nucleus and mitochondria, and also the white or fast contracting muscle fibers of skeletal muscle. The functions of the pathway: we have to be careful with our words and not refer directly to ATP synthesis, but to energy trapping or energy conservation, because it's the last third stage of metabolism that directly results in ATP synthesis. We should also mention here that in tissues like liver, and possibly also in kidney, that the function of this pathway is to provide the synthesis of intermediates that are then used in other metabolic pathways. Most students will have some familiarity with the pathway, but for those who have not encountered the process before, this is a useful introduction diagram. The pathway essentially involves the combination of a two-carbon molecule, acetyl-CoA, which we could see at the top of the diagram, that's combined with a four-carbon molecule. Those two are joined together, condensed together, to form a six-carbon molecule. And then, step by step, the enzymes of the pathway remove, first of all, one carbon atom, which is released as carbon dioxide. That leaves a five-carbon intermediate. Then another step involves the removal of a carbon atom as carbon dioxide gas, which then leaves a four-carbon molecule. The last reactions of the pathway involve the conversion of that four-carbon molecule back into another copy of the original molecule that was used in the first stage. This diagram shows a little more detail than the previous slide. It shows the names of the intermediates, and at the top of the diagram we can see the two-carbon molecule acetyl-CoA coming into the pathway, and that is combined with the four-carbon molecule, which we can now name as oxaloacetate. The enzyme citrate synthase joins these two molecules together to form the six-carbon molecule citrate, or citric acid. Then the names of the other intermediates appear on the diagram, together with the two places where carbon dioxide gas is produced. This diagram shows one further stage of detail. As well as the names of the intermediates, it shows the chemical formula of the substances. It should be viewed very much as a summary diagram, perhaps for reference at any stage, because each of these reactions will be looked at in detail as we go through the presentation. If this presentation is viewed in sequence following the presentation on glycolysis, then we need to consider what's called the link reaction. Glycolysis resulted in glucose being broken down to pyruvate or pyruvic acid with three carbon atoms in its structure. And that structure is shown on the left of the diagram. In this process, one carbon atom is removed from the pyruvate and released as carbon dioxide. That is shown on the extreme right of the diagram. In this process, 3-carbon pyruvate is converted to the 2-carbon product, which we can call either active acetate, or as we'll see here, it's known as acetyl-CoA. This reaction is catalyzed by an enzyme called pyruvate dehydrogenase. Though it is not obvious, this reaction is also an oxidation reaction, and the enzyme pyruvate dehydrogenase removes a pair of hydrogen atoms from the substrate pyruvate and transfers them to the cofactor NAD, which then becomes reduced to NADH and a proton. The reaction is both complex and interesting, and the enzyme is often referred to as pyruvate dehydrogenase complex because it's made up of at least 3 different proteins catalyzing different stages of the reaction. As well as NAD as a cofactor, these various steps require other molecules, so the enzyme requires thiamine pyrophosphate as the cofactor for the decarboxylation stage. Another cofactor, lipoic acid, is required, flavin-based cofactor FAD, and also a coenzyme known as coenzyme A, whose structure we will look at in the next diagram. We can attempt to understand the complexity of the structure of coenzyme A by saying that it's really made up of 2 parts: a functional part, which changes when the cofactor takes part in a reaction, and the major part of the molecule, which does not change and is often abbreviated as just CoA. The functional part of the molecule is shown on the extreme right. The molecule ends with a sulfur atom to which is attached just one hydrogen atom, and this is often known as a thiol group or as a sulfhydryl group. And this is the part of the molecule that becomes covalently linked to carboxylic acid molecules. The part of the molecule that does not change is highlighted here, and one can see that it's made up of some familiar building blocks: an adenine double ring, a ribose sugar ring, then the sugar is attached through 2 phosphate groups to a part of the molecule known as pantothenic acid. Because only one small functional part of the coenzyme changes during a reaction, it is convenient to abbreviate the whole of that formula by the term coenzyme A or CoA, or as written here in red, CoASH. This way of writing it indicates that the sulfur and the hydrogen are there in the free form, and this is often referred to as the free form of the cofactor. At the bottom of the diagram is written the conventional way in which this can be written during a biochemical reaction. We have at the bottom left a 2-carbon acid. This is acetic acid or ethanoic acid. And here this is combined with the free form of the coenzyme to give the product in which the 2-carbon atom from 2-carbon group from acetate is combined directly to the sulfur of the coenzyme A. And this product here would be referred to as acetyl-CoA. The thioester bond formed between the cofactor and carboxylic acids such as acetate here gives the molecule a higher energy of hydrolysis than is true for ordinary esters. This is due to resonance stabilization of the thioester. This way, acetyl-CoA can be considered to be a high energy molecule in one sense, and when this undergoes the next reaction, if the thioester bond is hydrolyzed, this releases sufficient free energy to drive the reaction in the forward direction. Acetyl-CoA is therefore an ideal molecule to enter the TCA cycle and drive the first reaction in the forward direction. Just to recap briefly on this reaction, this serves as a very important link between 2 major pathways, glycolysis and the TCA cycle. And we find that the enzyme pyruvate dehydrogenase operates under 2 different types of regulation. Firstly, the enzyme shows allosteric properties, and the activity of the enzyme is inhibited by cofactors such as ATP and NADH, and also by the product acetyl-CoA. So this reaction is slowed down when there are adequate high energy intermediates in the cell. The opposite form of the cofactors, so that's ADP and also NAD, these serve to activate the enzyme. The enzyme also is regulated by covalent modification. The protein can exist in two different forms, phosphorylated and unphosphorylated, and this is achieved by a pair of enzymes, a protein kinase and a protein phosphatase. And in general, under conditions where there is adequate levels of the high-energy cofactors, such as ATP and NADH, then the enzyme will be converted covalently to its less active form.